I pick up the sports page of the Philadelphia Inquirer today, buried in page 3, headline, study of NBA sees racial bias in the calling of fouls, personal fouls. And I see that one of the authors is a guy we've had on before, I think around point shaving. He's an assistant professor of business and public policy at the Wharton School at Penn. And the idea is this. Listen to how interesting this idea. Remember the Freakonomics guy? Remember the guy that we brought here to the Big Talker 1210 because he takes these interesting facts and figures and statistics around social problems that are not some egghead type of thing, but something in everyday life that we can look at and examine, often controversial. Well, the Freakonomics guy has weighed in, and he likes the methodology of this study. The study purports that there is a significant difference of white officials calling more fouls more frequently against black players than white players in the NBA. And here's the broad thing we'll be discussing with our guest. I think where this is going is what the claim is about subtle racism that's out there. Not blatant racism where people sit there and discriminate blatantly, but in snap decision areas. Things like police searches, whether to search or not. Tipping of cab drivers. And I've been a basketball referee. If you're a basketball referee, I need you to come in. I've been only at the high school level. But you talk about snap decisions. I think basketball refereeing is the single hardest thing to referee. You're running around. You have to run the whole game. Football, they're in place. Baseball, they're in place. The argument is more fouls are called against black players by white officials than white players. And it has all kinds of other wrinkles. So let's get to our guest, because I read the whole study today. I'm fascinated by this stuff. He is a professor at the Wharton School. Justin Wolfis joins us here on the Big Talker 1210. Professor, welcome back to the Big Talker 1210. Great to have you.
It's a pleasure to be here, and you sound like a learned man on these topics, sir.
Well, I do a lot of sports shows, and I like the world of sports. And that's one of the things that we can see, where we can measure things, I think, Justin, much better. Why did you and your colleagues sit there and say, you know what, maybe there's a subtle bias here? How did that come about?
I think there's probably two factors that led us to this, Dom. The first is the way that social scientists increasingly think about problems of discrimination.
Mm-hmm.
It's self-evolving. So,
right.
You know, in the 1930s and 40s, maybe we needed to worry about hate. Really raw hate,
mm-hmm.
ugly hate. And I think that's a decreasingly relevant factor today. But these implicit biases are incredibly important, potentially. And so there's an emerging social science interest in trying to understand this. And so what we're after is the best laboratory we can find for trying to examine implicit bias. That's the first reason. And, you know, sports, as you say, it's a wonderful laboratory because there's so much data.
Mm-hmm.
And the second is, I think this is a particularly interesting laboratory, the NBA, because in many respects, I think that this is one of the most professionally run organizations. If you think about all the context you mentioned, whether a police decide to search someone or, you know, things like that, these are people who don't get the training and don't get the continual feedback and don't have the very strong incentives to get everything right and
right.
continually striving to eliminate all forms of bias from their behavior. So, really, we think the NBA is an interesting laboratory because, in some sense, because of the high level of professionalism of the referees, and actually, it's a very race-blind organization. And so the thought that we're left with at the end of this is, well, even in a setting like that, if we find some evidence of bias, by jingo, doesn't that make you worry a little bit about other domains of human...
Now, is the theory, Justin, that... you have three-man crews, all white. Is that what's necessary? Is that what you looked at?
So what we do is, for any individual player, we just look at how many fouls on average you earn
okay.
when the refereeing crew is all white, when it's two whites and one black, when it's one white and two blacks,
uh-huh.
or when it's all blacks. And
yeah.
if the referees have no biases, of course, you should get the same average today under a particular composition as tomorrow under a different composition.
All right. Yeah, I think there's a lot of variables. I read the study today, and you did circle out. You guys are very savvy with sports of some of the variables. Now, how significant is it, though? It is a 2.5% difference to a 4, something like that.
Yeah.
Is that correct?
Yeah. So there's a bunch of things going on here. So the headline number is that foul calling changes, but that's not the only thing that changes. So, say a referee interprets a play, you know, he has to decide whether it's a charge or a block. Well, that affects whether you go to the foul line, but it also affects whether your field goal counts.
Right.
And so we find, beyond the effect on fouls, we find a 2.5% effect on the number of points you score. We find an effect on the number of turnovers in the game. We find an effect on technical fouls. These things start to add up. And so it's very hard to think. Here's the experiment we thought of, and I don't know if it's a good experiment or not, but many, you know, the modal game involves maybe a team with five black starters against a team with four black starters. And today, you know, about 70% of the referees are white. 80% of the players are black. If we move to a world where the referees were of a similar racial composition to the players, we think that would have changed the outcomes of about 2% of all games. You can tell me if that's a lot or a little. That's a question.
No, that is a significant number over the how highly competitive it is, Justin, over the course of the year. Here's one thought, and this may be a bit esoteric, that I had. Most of the players, great numbers of the players that are white that play regularly at least, are European. And I think I have my own Dom Giordano theory for that you guys may want to look at some point.
Mm-hmm.
But they're European, and maybe they play a style that is less physical, less foul-oriented. Did you take that into account, the type of white guy that might be out there in the NBA? Europeans are not as physical as NBA players by and large are.
Absolutely. And so we took complete account of that because... Mm-hmm. What we're saying is not that Europeans earn more fouls or less fouls than non-Europeans. It's that a given player earns more fouls or less fouls depending on the race of the crew. And so that goes for a European as much as it goes for an American.
Did any players jump out, this may be really inside, that really show a difference? Like I was thinking a player who maybe, like an Allen Iverson, who identifies with a certain type of image... with an all-white crew, you didn't do anything like that, looking at individual players, how much it jumps when they're all-white versus black referees?
Dom, I'm going to tease you on this. I couldn't resist looking.
Yeah.
But I'm a social scientist, and I want to focus on the important issue, not on the gossip. And so I know that you want an answer, but I think it would be disingenuous of us to be sort of naming names like
that. All right. You know that, yeah. All right. What's the uptick of this? That's what the real interest is, I guess. Away from sports, it gets into this issue of the subtleties of race today.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, if these guys who make thousands of calls a year are biased, well, I don't know, do you get involved hiring your staff at the station, Dom?
No, I do not. No, well, but I've done that. Right. I've had my own business, so sure.
And, you know, so maybe you do a dozen interviews a year.
Right.
And, you know, if you make a mistake, sort of, so what? And maybe you didn't hire someone and they later turn out to be really great, but you don't even know that. So...
Mm-hmm.
In a context like that, you could be making much bigger mistakes than the NBA referees are making. And so you want to think about designing HR hiring policies that are sensitive to the fact that even the best-intentioned people may have their decision-making informed by the race of their race and the race of the person they're interviewing.
All right, let's say for a minute, let's stipulate that what you found is true. Do you have any sense of why that is? In other words... Why would a white guy see a foul? Is it they see a foul in a different way or with the player? What is it that's doing that? And can you put your arms around and tell me what you think it is?
Yeah, so I'm an economist, and a large part of your answer comes from the recent literature in psychology. And so this idea of implicit associations is very big in among my psychology friends. But here's the story, I think, and if you need me to push further, push me. Two players call out on the court. There's no question there's a foul. The question is it a block or is it a charge?
Mm-hmm.
You see the physical actions, you have to interpret it, and as you say, as a former referee, in a split second. And then the question is, does the fact that one player was either white or black, does that shape how your brain interprets the data that your eyes are giving you?
Mm-hmm.
And you may have... in some sense, stereotypes or deeply held implicit biases that, despite the fact you don't intellectually believe this, not at the front of your brain that, you know, you don't believe that one race or the other is more violent, but it may be that through repeated, you know, seeing a lot of imagery that association has subconsciously built up in your mind. And that's what shapes how your brain interprets what your eyes are telling you.
Yeah, I could buy some of that, but I would more look at it, too. It's the physical appearance of the type of, like a Tim Duncan. I think it's, if you're a star, first of all, and there's a collision, you're getting the benefit of the doubt because they see it that way. Two, if you're a Tim Duncan, who is a mild-mannered type of guy, you're getting the benefit of the doubt. If you're Rasheed Wallace, you're going to have big trouble.
But again, it's not about how many fouls Rasheed Wallace gets. It's how many fouls he gets today.
Right. I see what you're saying.
Versus tomorrow. But, you know, let me try and answer your question another way. And this is a little more controversial than I want to be. But you can think about another job. You could be a police officer walking down a dark alley and you see someone reach for their back pocket. Are they reaching for their gun or a wallet? Well, it's possible, depending on the stereotypes that you have in the back of your mind, that the color of their skin would shape your interpretation of that action. That's what we think is going on.
Okay, can you take a few calls? We have people that are thrilled to talk about it. And again, you guys are going to be presenting this paper over the next 2 days. Do you expect to be under attack? Is that what happens at these conventions or no?
So economists are a very genteel bunch. So we take the work seriously. And
exactly.
If there's good reasons to doubt it, people... And by the way, I should add, the good reasons to doubt it are not at all related to some of the nonsense that's going on in the media right now or any of the nonsense coming out of the NBA. But, you know, there'll be serious statisticians and economists really making sure that the data hold up. And it's actually a part of the process that we love.
Well, when you got the Freakonomics guy, to us, that's like gold. We love the stuff that they've done. And this is a piece of that. That's why it's so fascinating. Let me give the phone numbers to speak with our guest. 215-839-1210. And globalize it out, if you will, from their study. Do you think this is a marker of this kind of implicit association, subtle racism, call it what you will, in any number of ways of walks of life? Robert's in the Northeast on the Big Talker 1210. Robert, welcome in.
How you doing, Doc?
Good.
I love your show. I listen to it all the time. But this is such a colossal waste of time. I'm just laughing here. Charles Barkley and Kenny Smith were just asked about this during the basketball game tonight. Charles Barkley said the people who did this study, and he called them a name that I can't say on the air, and he said that they had too much time on their hands. And Kenny Smith agreed, saying that this is the most ridiculous thing he's ever heard of. Kobe Bryant said he's more likely to get technicals from black referees than white referees. And it's a fact, not a biased statement, that white players, not just Europeans, are softer than some black players.
Oh, no, wait a minute. Let's take a look at that last one. I share that, but you say that like that's a fact. Is that a
perception?
Well, wait, I don't know about that. Is that a perceptual thing? I see the white player. I see them as softer, too, but am I...
I coach and I play, and I'm telling you, it's a fact. And that's not a knock on either race.
I know it's not. Doctor, do you share that, or is that an example of kind of a bias that we bring to it? Not a negative bias, it's a positive bias.
It's a little simpler than that. The observation may be right, it may be wrong.
Right.
It's irrelevant to the argument. It's not an argument about whether Europeans are softer or harder.
Mm-hmm.
It's not European differently today under an all-white crew than tomorrow under an all-black crew. That's the puzzle. That's where I want to direct your attention. Now, I think it's really interesting. So Charles Barkley called me a jackass. I think that's fabulous. What's really interesting is I'm not surprised that black players are not aware of these biases. No, I'm really not.
Now you're insulting black players.
No,
so you're saying they're too to figure it out.
I'm not,
Dom, I love your show, but I'm going to listen to something else.
All right, thank you, Robert, very much. Go ahead, Doctor.
I'm not surprised that white players are not aware of this either. First, think about it. If you're a large African-American man, you are probably on the receiving end of substantial racism in many other domains of your life. And it may be that the amount of discrimination that occurs in the basketball court is so minimal, it's actually one of the safest places in which you operate. And so, you know, maybe Charles Barkley finds it hard to hail a cab at midnight. Well, Charles Barkley doesn't, but I'm sure other NBA players do. Maybe they're aware of those biases, and this, what occurs because in the NBA court, pales into insignificance relative to some of the other forms of discrimination they encounter in the rest of their life.
Okay, well, let me spin it the other way now, too. You did study black referees and the significance of calling more fouls on white players.
Right. And so, again, this is not a study that's about what's happening to blacks or what's happening to whites. It's about own race bias. And so we find evidence that the white referees are preferring white players and that the black referees are exhibiting bias towards black players. Absolutely.
Oh, they are. Not as in as much of an area, though?
It looks like the effect is a little smaller, But to tell you the truth, Dom, it's very hard to be precise about this using the sorts of statistical models we're using.
So black referees, again, for listeners, Doctor, are doing the same thing that white referees are doing. They have some kind of wiring, if you will, to see it that way also.
As far as we can tell, yeah.
All right, Doctor, where could people find this? It's been out in the front page of the New York Times today, et cetera. Where can people find the study? Where do they go?
So the study's on my webpage.
Okay.
If you Google the word Justin Wolfers, W-O-L-F-E-R-S, we put the study up. I understand that 42 pages of econometrics is something that only I would find interesting.
I found it interesting. I have to.
We've also put up a four-page executive summary for those who really want to get to the nuts and bolts. But, you know, I want to foster debate, and I want to be criticized for the right reasons. But in order to, you know, really understand what's the strengths and weaknesses of the study are, one does have to read it. And in some sense, I'm disappointed that the NBA's response has been essentially irrelevant to the analysis that we've put forward and we've made clear and we've put out there for criticism and discussion.
Yeah, I agree. They're not engaging in the same debate. They're saying something different. Doctor, thank you. Thanks very much for coming back on with us tonight.
Thanks, Tom. It was a pleasure.
All right, Dr. Justin Wolfers from the University of Penn at Wharton.